You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that it's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support OneOfUs.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be one of us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Julian, you gotta get up. I know the movie's not that interesting, but we do actually have to talk about Animal Among Us. I'm really sorry about that, but we
do. Oh, man, I just had this really terrible, like, badly produced dream where I think Bigfoot was there and he had dreads. I'm not sure.
I mean, if it helps, unfortunately, that actually happened, though. I'm not sure if the movie knew if that was Bigfoot with dreads or not.
Oh, well, either way, thanks for waking me up, because that was horrible what I was going through.
Oh, God. Well, unfortunately, all of us went through it, but we're talking about Animal Among Us, which is supposedly a horror thriller, though it wasn't very thrilling at all, in my opinion. But I'm Ben, and with me is Julian.
Hello, I'm Julian Hemendinger. And last but not least... is Bradley.
Oh, that's... Here's Bradley. That's nice to say. Yes, Bradley. Hello. I also saw this movie.
So, I watched this yesterday, and as I've been saying to these guys, I barely remember this film. Like, I tried before we started recording, like, jumping around through it, and I'm just like, did that fucking happen in this movie? And then I was like, oh, wait, nothing happened in this scene anyway. So, do either of you want to try to explain what happens in this film?
I could start and you could finish, Julian.
Yeah, let's see where you start this, because this is one of those movies like Birdemic where, like, it might as well start with him getting in the car and going to get gas, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
oh God.
15 years ago at a campground, two teenage girls were murdered, and the murder was never solved. Or was it? Some author wrote a book about these horrific murders, which brought attention to the camp, but not the good kind. It closed down the camp. 15 years later, the camp is reopening. Is the animal still among them?
Well, yeah, and the author is like a professor... And this is, that's pretty much a summation, a way more interesting summation than that entire movie.
I was about to say, that was better than this movie, better than the trailer for this movie. Like, Jesus.
Like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, I hope this sucks, but careful what you wish for. Because this is one of the most, like, generic and, like, this seems like a tax fraud evasion thing. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
company that's really a shell company for some billionaire.
Yeah, like, you laundering money for something with this? Well, like, that sounds scary.
Yeah, let's not make any accusations, though, right? No, I can't afford a lawyer right now, so...
I've watched a lot of bad movies to review, especially on Screener Squad. This is one of those ones that does the one thing worse than just being a bad movie. It's a boring bad movie. Like, you can't, if you can't even keep me mildly interested with either being just terrible enough that it's entertaining or just have a few moments that are redeeming, no, there's nothing here. It feels like three different plots going on at once.
At least three. I mean,
This feels like 300 different movies fucking slammed together. But the one thing that I think holds this movie back is that it takes itself way too seriously. Like, thinking back, I don't think I laughed one time, like, even at the movie. Like, the peak of this movie, like, is I want to get the good out of the way. Like, I think I thought of something. And it has nothing to do with the makeup or anything, but like, they try and play with this mask motif. And early on in the movie, there's a nice panning shot of a bunch of people wearing masks. And this one girl has a butterfly mask. And I was like, oh, that looks kind of nice. And that was about like where the movie peaked.
There's really no point to that, because I remember at the beginning, like, he's wearing the mask and like the wife's like, oh, you're wearing your Halloween mask in March. And then all of a sudden, everyone else is in a mask. And I'm just like, wait, did I fall asleep? Is there an explanation of any of this? But I guess not.
The daughter man was like one of my favorite characters in that moment, because like, she runs away and like the two parent like actors look at each other. And they're like, look at that. Look at that kid running back to her mom. Look at that. Look at her go. Like, that's just a child right there. Like, there seemed to be no connection between those three characters. I mean, that's probably the biggest fault with the movie. I think we could, I mean, there's a lot of faults, but could we agree on that?
Sure. That's pretty bad when the family dynamic has nothing.
Well, the characters overall.
Oh, the characters overall, for sure. Because, like, let's see, our protagonist is supposed to be Roland Baumgartner, played by Christian Oliver, who's the writer. He's the one we start with, at least generally speaking. And, like, literally he is randomly, like, a guy with, like, a Swedish accent or something, like a light accent from like Sweden or Austria or something, for no reason, because they never really address it. And he's like, yeah, I wrote this book about this camp. And yeah, he's kind of a pretentious dick, but you know, not in any way past like what you would expect a supposedly rich guy to be. But then like, you have the other side, which is Anita Bishop, played by Larissa Olenek, which I think is the reason that Brad put this on the docket,
because yeah, he
likes her.
Alex Mack for life.
God damn it.
Whoever that is.
I knew her from Third Rock from the Sun, actually.
And did you ever see 10 Things I Hate About You? She was supposed to be the star of that, but Julia Stiles was, you know... Julia Stiles. Well, Julia Stiles, I think, is fantastic.
I've seen that movie, yeah. But she's not in that.
No, she is. Larissa Olenek is. She's the boring, or the boring. She's the sister who wants to date J.J. Levy. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah.
J.J. Levy. Okay. Downgraded.
Yeah. Okay.
But yes.
So I thought you said that she didn't get the part, and I was like, well,
she was just outshined.
She got the part, then she got bumped.
Okay, gotcha. Continue, yeah, sorry.
So anyway, so Anita is with her sister Penelope Poppy Bishop, played by Christine Donlan, which is like the most, we forced a nickname in there to try to make our character sound more creative character nickname in the history of movies I think I've watched this year. Pretty much they're the two trying to put the camp back together. And honestly, that's kind of where I hate this movie the most, because look, I'll tell you everybody right now, they're supposed to be played as like almost sympathetic for a bit. And then like, they'd suddenly be like, oh, but they're hiding something. And then by the end of the movie, you're just like, you could have just told the story from this angle, the actual angle, and it would have been a much more interesting movie instead of beating around the fucking bush with these two characters, because I think they're the only two characters that have any chemistry, but they're still not really good characters.
Well, the weirdest thing about it is...
Yeah, the right... I mean...
They both could be just... Yeah, go ahead, Brad. Yeah, the two of them could have been played by just the one character.
Yep.
Right? I mean, there's no need for them to be sisters with a secret. It could have just been a woman with a secret at the camp, because they're this... This movie is so overloaded with characters that seem to have fought hard to get their own moments. Yeah. There's like no extras in this. The extras that show up are like, whoa, 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 wait a second. I get a backstory too. And it's crazy.
Yeah, I was just going to say like that, like, again, biggest downfall of this is the characters, because none of them are likable. None of them are all that well performed, and none of them look that interesting or come across as like that iconic, even though you can tell they're fucking trying.
Sure.
And it's just there's, this movie is frustrating for the reason that there's not a lot going on, but when you break it down, it's really bloated. Like, yep. There's way too much there, but there's not enough. Everything could have just been way tighter. Camera could have been closer. Lighting could have been tighter.
Like, it takes 45 minutes in this script for Baumgartner to get to the camp. His story is his own goddamn random arc up until that point, and it's not interesting at all. And then when he gets there, you know, they basically just have Anita and Penelope being two different characters just so they can try to split up the plot, and it really doesn't work that well. And then there's that later scene where, like, evidently Anita's hiding things from Penelope, and it's like, why? Because it only happens for like a half a scene that it actually matters to either of them, and then Penelope doesn't care that it was being hidden from her. It's like, they don't know where they're going. There's that random Burl Wolf guy who I think they try to play up like he's the actual bad guy. And then at the end, you're just kind of like, wow, you get just dicked around this whole movie. And while you're an asshole, you almost feel bad for his character. Cause I'm like, you're the one person in this movie who didn't do anything wrong. Everyone else deserves to be smacked around. You kind of get fucked over though.
You know, this movie comes across as, you know, that saying like, oh, you got my you got your chocolate and my peanut butter. Like, this was trying to do something like that. But this was more like, oh, you got your pizza in my dog shit. It believes in itself in just like the wrong direction, but nothing is terrible enough to warrant like really wanting to go out there and laugh at this, because it's just like the energy is just not there. Like, the stakes are just like they're definitely made of like goat meat, you know, like they're really low quality.
It's, I gotta say, like, I, as much as I try to avoid spoilers, I will say that last, like, big scene where it's supposed to be like a kidnapping scene is so just clunky as hell. Like, it should be some big climax, and it just keeps like going and going. And they're like, yeah, see, look at all the twists and turns. But really, it's just like, fuck you. I really earned any of this.
This movie seems like, It's like someone's taking you camping. You're like, I don't want to go. It's like, we're going. It's like, okay, but I'm going to bitch the whole time because I told you I don't want to be here. Let go of my wrist. Like, how the fuck are you going to be an author? Be like, hey, I got a letter from this national park. They're telling me, hey, why don't you just come out here and just take a look around? No, why don't you fucking pay me?
Yeah,
shit.
I work on retainer.
You know what? Yeah. It's but Bradley, it's just a 10-hour drive.
Oh god.
Yeah,
I'm not then, like that was a line.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he went back either. I mean, the camp's opening up.
He's never been too. Yeah. That's the other thing that pissed me off.
Yeah, the camp's opening up that you wrote about. Oh, that means I gotta go back. Like, why? And yeah, sorry, awkward silence, and I didn't mean to cause that, but it's right, very
there's
weird.
There's nothing else to say to that. It's just correct.
If he wanted to write a sequel to his book, he would have years ago. The camp reopening isn't sequel fodder, so I'm not sure what his ambitions were to return to that place.
Yeah, there's also that when he even addresses, like, there's a point where he gets asked, why did you write about this place? His answer is so shitty. Like, they didn't think about it in the script. They thought it would be some big thing. And he tries to make it, like, about classism or something. And then it's like, no, that's not a reason why you'd write this book. That makes no fucking sense. Nobody goes like, I'm going to write, you know, about the massacre of 1812 because they thought, yeah, fuck those people in 1812. No, they write that because, hey, this was a really interesting story about blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. But no, that's supposed to be this character's motivation for this book. And the one thing that I found funny is the way it's like, oh, yeah, but he's actually not that famous and successful. It's like, okay, so why does this fucking matter to anyone?
Yeah, how does everybody know about it then?
I just, it's so convoluted. And again, like, I can get the spoilers on it if I can help it, because somebody might still want to see this movie for some fucking reason.
Sure,
but
yeah.
That last twist at the end, like, again, I totally forgot all of that stuff came up for that last twist, that very last scene.
There's like, okay.
I was like, haha, yeah. Look how edgy we are.
I was going to say, there's like six twists towards the end of this movie, and they just keep on twisting until they break.
No, the very, very last scene.
What was funny about that is, and this isn't a spoiler to say, I don't think, is it pretty much asked the audience, like, now do you believe in monsters, eh? And I'm sitting here all by myself watching this, thinking, not really. I mean,
what's my thing?
Shitty
is,
person is a better title for what was going on there. Yeah. Not necessarily monster.
That's what I was gonna say. It's like the person that they're trying to call a monster in that scene is not like, he's not like torturing people or raping children. He's like, no, he had an affair.
Yeah, he's just kind of a shitty person.
Okay. Sorry. He had an affair. He really is a monster. It's like,
no, but it's a monster. Dun, dun, like that. Not even like, you monster. But it was seriously was trying to call this guy like the worst kind of thing. And it's like, really? Are you sure? Have you seen a true crime?
Yeah, it wasn't that. That's the thing, is it's pulling from that shit. And it's just like turning into just a bland pile of slop. Like, that's not even, there's no colors in it even.
There, like, really isn't. Like, there's a whole, like, segment that's a bunch of, like, the medium-level plots of this movie that we haven't even touched on, of, like, randomly there's some woman who gets attacked by something and has video footage, and then there's a Bigfoot hunter guy for no reason. Like, these are so inconsequential to the closest thing to an A and B plot this movie has that we haven't touched on until now.
Right, like, he's looking for Bigfoot, but when all is said and done by the reveals that we see and all the twists that are going on, that guy was looking for a Bigfoot at a campground because he must have just personally decided one was there. There was no clues or no information that would ever lead him to that area.
And also because, you know, people like expect to have certain things because certain movies give off certain vibes. And this definitely gives off that vibe of the porno that never starts. Kind of like, I mean, I feel like saying it's kind of like The Room is too much praise. So like almost similar. But there's not even tits in this movie.
Well, there's nothing to recommend. Once where they like, oh, look, he's there with her naked. And then you don't get to get any of that payoff, which would have been like
they show some leg in there. They had some serious leg and mask action. So maybe this is just like some really deep, like, dark web furry porn. Maybe that's what we uncovered.
Okay. I will say, though, also, if you, I don't know if either of you have up the IMDb, but the poster kind of spoils the supposed secret to this movie. Like, if you look at it, it's like, no, that's clearly not a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, anybody, if you saw this poster, you're spoiling the one semi-secret this movie tries to tease you with. Because, again, it's not a thriller. And the closest to horror is some people die and there's some maiming of people. Not even, like, serious maiming. It's like, oh, look, they got scratched by a bear claw. They clearly have been maimed.
What did you guys think of that when it was setting up the big scare? And then you'd hear, like, the creature, or is it not, or is it, go like, wow, wow. And then, like, the dude or woman getting attacked would be like, ah. But then later in the movie, they'd wander back onto set and be so like, many. I'm actually fine.
there's so many parts in this movie. I was like, this is going to happen, and this, and then this. Like, when they, like, too many I can't stand this movie. It's made me angry now. Like, just thinking about it. Like, there is nothing more annoying than a wasted opportunity. Like, how the fuck did no one say, maybe we don't need 80 characters? Like, one thing I'll say is all the women in this movie are very attractive. I wonder if anyone slept with someone for a role. I know Harvey Weinstein wasn't a producer, but this movie reeks of that. There's a lot of shots. Did you guys notice that? Where the camera was real low and it was following a girl. Well, I mean, there's literally a shot when someone's on a motorcycle and they're like raising up their ass.
I will say, as far as like that type of thing goes, or like the, you know, the quality of the casting and too many people, it's like, this is a first time, at least, you know, feature length director and writer. I mean, that says a lot about it. Yeah. Like maybe if it was a better script, a first-time director could have done better, or vice versa. But these guys have also worked together on shorts, and I'm just like, please tell me your shorts are better than this. Like, please tell me when you only have to fit in, like, 20 minutes of movie, you actually don't overload them. But honestly, after this, my hopes aren't that high. I'm thankfully not frustrated with this movie, just because I was too bored to care about it. But Jesus Christ, there's just nothing here.
Yeah, it's a fucking waste of time. It's so sad for everyone involved. Like, all your effort. Like, there's clearly points where people were trying to do stuff, but this is a bunch of gobbledygook. This is a fucking mess. Sorry, dog. It's a no from me.
Well, here, why don't you roll that into your final thoughts there?
Let me roll up this blunt of shit. I don't. This movie, like, I haven't seen a billion things this year, but I've seen a couple handfuls of things. And, like, this is by far the worst thing I've seen all year. Like, there's, like I said at the beginning, there's the worst thing is that you can't even laugh at this shit. It's not even that bad. This was an interesting attempt. I would have to give this an F. Like, I give this one fetish film out of 10 for no one.
Oof. Well, Bradley, how about you?
Yeah, that's brutal. Well, I was looking at the IMDb, and I guess this must be for some people. It's won 11 awards from, let's see, Creepy Tree Film Festival, Die Laughing Film Festival, Twin Falls Sandwiches Film Festival. I haven't heard of those personally, but I guess someone's liking it. I don't know.
I feel like you've made up at least all of them.
No, there are so many festivals out there. It's absurd.
That's true. Like, there's even a few in Austin that I'm like,
that doesn't, that doesn't mean shit to me. Like, I saw your movie. It sucked.
Yeah. I got to say, I'm kind of more on your side. Well, actually, you both have said it. This movie's biggest flaw is it's so boring. And I think it's so boring is because of the many characters that just randomly show up and they're boring. And the big reveal at the end was boring. If it was camp counselor who is hell-bent on getting this camp back on track, damn it, and some people show up as cannon fodder and not necessarily more characters with more boring-ass backstories and dialogue, maybe there's something here. But I was very disappointed. I've been rooting for Larissa Oleynik for years. I was like 11 years old when she was on her first TV show. I believe it was her first TV show. Alex Mack is what her character's name was in that. It'll get a reboot. You'll see. 90s nostalgia's coming back. And
it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even really want to rate this. I just feel mean calling something as bad as this was. You know, it's been a while since I've been so bored by a movie that I chose. I will say two sisters in 10 log cabins waiting to die.
And one thing we didn't mention, the Not Inch Nails music that plays in this, like, bro, what the fuck?
I was going to say, that's really bad.
Like, the scariest thing about it was the fact that you thought that was okay. Like, Jesus, like, God, like, talk about lack of atmosphere.
That's the thing, is watching this movie, it's like, I could easily see so many ways to fix this movie. Honestly, like, I don't even think the plot of, you know, the writer and the camp is that bad is a little overplayed out. But the fact is that doesn't even connect for 45 minutes of this movie. They spend like 45 minutes of it trying to lay out how much of an asshole this guy is, which you could probably do in like two scenes. And then when he ends up at the camp, they keep dicking around with the like ancillary characters who should have been slasher fodder from the beginning. It still wouldn't have been a great movie if they moved that shit around or they sped it up, but it could have at least been a passable slasher with, you know, a twist story with a weak twist. But they couldn't even achieve that. I really want to hope that, as I said earlier, the shorts from this director and this writer duo are better. You know, I never hope that somebody's actually just bad and that they're irredeemable. But clearly, these guys should not be trusted to just write and direct and produce their own feature film at this point because they don't fucking know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Someone knows what they're doing. Someone got laid onto this and someone got paid. Someone got paid. Someone got paid.
Somebody got paid, but honestly, do you think somebody would sleep with someone to get into this piece of shit?
I really don't think so. I think springtime for Hitler and Germany.
Oh, God. I'm going to give this 1.5 out of 10 bear claws that you just cut off and still use.
Yeah, fuck those bear claws. Get white claws.
Ain't no law but the claw.